A fire is burning in Missoula's Grant Creek area. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates Carney. A campaign finance ruling on whether individuals and political parties can give unlimited amounts of money to candidates should come after November's election. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has settled a lawsuit that will force it to disclose the amount of pollutants that come through its dams. There is a fire in Missoula's Grant Creek area. The Colorado Gulch Fire is burning in grass and scattered timber on private land. This fire is not on the Lolo National Forest, but a multi-agency effort to suppress the fire is underway, with the Montana Department of Natural Resources, local fire departments, and the Forest Service. The fire is approximately 5 acres and growing. Windy conditions exist in the fire area. Several resources are en route, including the Helena Hotshot crew, local, state, and federal engines, one DRNC helicopter, and one Forest Service helicopter. An air attack aircraft is also assigned to guide other aircraft and coordinate suppression from the air. Additional resources are likely to be dispatched to this fire. This area is within the Grant Creek subdivision, and structures are potentially threatened by this fire. Two homes have reportedly been evacuated. In other news from around the state, a flurry of lightning strikes over the weekend started more than 24 fires in western Montana over the weekend, including 4 fires near Thompson Falls. Most of the fires were easily contained by fire crews, but 4 of those fires are currently burning across 110 acres of Lolo National Forest. Fire crews are calling them the Thompson River Complex Fires. 2 of those fires, the Cuckoo Stint 1 and the Cuckoo Stint 2, are clearly visible from Highway 200, and Fire Information Officer John Hamilton is cautioning drivers to pay attention to electric signs on the highway and stay alert.
These 4 fires that make up the Thompson River Complex are the nastiest ground we have. You know, the fire is moving downhill a little bit. You know, we're trying to get it stopped on the uphill side and get it down in the rocks and then contain and confine. Try to keep it in there, and it may be a long-term event, but we are ready to deal with it.
Hamilton says both heavily and single air tankers have flown dozens of missions, dropping a combination of water and retardant over both Cuckoo Stint fires. Rocky terrain and steep hillsides are preventing ground crews from approaching the fire directly. The other 2 fires, the Spruce Creek and the Spruce 2 fire, are burning an isolated area in West Fork Thompson River drainage. Hamilton says 120 firefighters split into 6 teams are in the Thompson River complex. He says 2 20-person teams are working on fire lanes now while officials are in the progress of placing the other 4.
One of our concerns is rolling material. This is right above Highway 200. When the fire burns, it tends to burn out root wads and stuff, which leads to rocks coming loose or stumps and logs. And it's very steep slope heading into the Clark Fork Valley off of this incident on Cuckoo Stint. So we are watching very carefully for that kind of stuff.
Officials have closed 2 trails in the area. The Cuckoo Stint Trail and the Big Spruce Trail are currently closed to hikers. Officials say a court decision on whether individuals and political parties can give unlimited amounts of money to state candidates won't be made until after the November 4th election. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is considering the case after U.S. District Judge Charles Lovell ruled the contribution limits unconstitutional weeks before the 2012 elections. Then Rick Hill accepted a $500,000 donation from the Montana Republican Party for his unsuccessful campaign before the 9th Circuit blocked Lovell's ruling on appeal. That stay is still in effect but would be lifted if the appeals court upholds Lovell's ruling. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell and plaintiff's attorney Anita Milanovich said today that that's not likely to happen before November. Modell says the court may schedule oral arguments, which would push back the decision. U.S. Bureau of Land Management figures show the total area of federal oil and gas leases currently deferred in Wyoming protects the greater sage grouse, extends the size of Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park combined. That's the 3.5 million acres of deferred leases include 10,000 acres that otherwise would be offered at the BLM oil and gas lease sale tomorrow. BLM officials say many deferred leases will become available in the coming months after they enact a land use regulations to protect the ground-dwelling bird in the Rocky Mountain region. Even so, Kathleen Skelm with the Western Energy Alliance says the petroleum industry worries the regulations will overly restrict oil and gas development. Federal officials plan to decide next year whether to protect the greater sage grouse under the Endangered Species Act. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has settled a lawsuit that will force it to disclose the amount of pollutants its drains are sending to the U.S. waterways for the first time in the agency's history. The groundbreaking legal settlement could have broad implication for the Corps' hundreds of dams nationwide. The Corps says in a statement today that it will immediately notify the conservation group Columbia Riverkeeper of any oil spills among its eight dams in Oregon and Washington. The Corps will also apply for the EPA for the pollutants permit, something it has never done since the done for the dams on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. This statement was filed in the U.S. District Court in Portland, Oregon. Columbia Riverkeeper says in a lawsuit that the Corps violated the Clean Water Act. The forecast for our listening area tonight calls for a chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the upper 40s and mid-50s. Tomorrow you can expect mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures should reach the lower 90s. Tomorrow night there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the upper 40s, low 50s. And now for the editorial comments of Bruce Farling.
In today's partisan climate, it has become predictable sport to rail on the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Montana legislators, industries, local government, chambers of commerce, and recently Congressman Steve Daines constantly pummel EPA, all because the agency is simply doing its job. They hammer EPA's proposed carbon emission rules, which simply are a modest and flexible attempt to reduce some greenhouse gas emissions, as well as reduce public health risks posed by toxins that coal burning produces. But to the critics, it's a war on coal. In reality, the coal lobby has bigger problems. This medieval fuel simply cannot compete in a free market with cheaper fossil fuels, such as natural gas. Because of that, coal supporters demand society provide an expensive subsidy, the ability to pollute public air, which requires posing harm to the climate and human health. Curiously, the folks who demand this subsidy are often the same voices condemning and stopping feeble tax breaks for development of alternative energy. The other target of EPA critics is the agency's proposed rule clarifying what waters are subject to protections under the Federal Clean Water Act. The rule simply clears up confusion created by two muddled U.S. Supreme Court cases. It clarifies that those waters protected for more than 30 years before the High Court confused things should continue to be protected. But the critics, including Montana's lone congressman, distort the rule's purpose, parroting each other's slogans and claiming that an overbearing EPA is expanding its reach and will prohibit farmers from using irrigation ditches or spraying weeds. Nonsense. That's fear-mongering. In truth, EPA has been an extraordinarily positive force for Montana. Sure, the agency, like all agencies, occasionally blunders or does something ham-handed. The preponderance of what EPA brings to Montana, however, has made our state a much better place. Without EPA and the federal statutes and rules it administers, the winter air in Missoula and other communities would still be awful. Many of our rivers would still be sullied by community wastewater discharges. Sources of non-point source pollution from urban and rural areas would still be damaging water quality. Until EPA had a role, the state of Montana was not tackling these problems. Montana has 17 national priority sites in EPA's Superfund cleanup program. They gained this status because for 100-plus years, Montana's lawmakers put industrial development above public and environmental health. These sites are only cleaned up, or hopefully on their way to being cleaned up, because of EPA's role and the dedicated staff it brings to bear. More than 200 people in Libby had died from asbestos-related disease, and hundreds more sickened before somebody did something about it. That somebody was EPA. Montana's environmental regulators and state politicians largely ignored or were oblivious to the problem. EPA and its brethren federal health agencies have spent tens of millions of federal dollars responding to the health problems of Lincoln County residents. EPA has removed more than 1 million cubic yards of contaminated material around Libby, where notorious polluter W.R. Grace was once welcomed with open arms by local government and the state. Without EPA, the hundreds of millions of dollars poured into cleanup of mining contaminated areas in Butte, Anaconda, Opportunity, and along the Clark Fork River floodplain and at Milltown Reservoir would not have occurred. EPA invoked the Superfund program and forced the responsible party, ARCO, which had absorbed the assets and liabilities of the Anaconda Company, to pay. This wasn't popular at first. Politicians representing contaminated Upper River communities, Butte, Anaconda, and Opportunity, told EPA and its Superfund program to go away. An ARCO-funded group at Milltown lobbied for half-baked cleanup and retaining the crumbling dam. But EPA persevered. Today, people complain the agency isn't doing enough. Would this activity have happened if, say, it had been left to the Montana legislature, ARCO, and the state's politically pressured and beleaguered environmental regulators? Not likely. EPA has or will help remedy significant pollution problems at mining sites at Superior, near Neihardt, Hughesville, and Basin, and at the smelter site at Black Eagle, near Great Falls. In several cases, the state of Montana's Department of Environmental Quality asked for the help. Much of DEQ's budget is funded by, please take note, anti-EPA fans, federal dollars provided through EPA. Very little of this and myriad other unofficial activities.
Bruce Farling is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.